Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're brothers, and we also read comics.
We do. Are you wearing that shirt? Is this book a Fantagraphics book?
I don't know, but anyway, we got some time codes in the description for things like the back matter, the polis, the book, but what do we start with?
We start with the news.
Kind of a lot of news.
It was a pretty solid week. There's some good stuff, some weird stuff. Good stuff, we'll start with. Keanu Reeves went on like Kimmel or something like that, and he was talking about his comic Berserker. And he was being very nice about the comic book industry, and he did a little shout out to Matt Kent and Ron Garney and Bill Crabtree. So that was nice. Another W for Keanu Reeves.
Cool.
And I think he talked about making it into a movie. So that would be cool too.
Yeah. It's probably Seth Meyers.
I don't think it was Seth Meyers. Really? Because normally Seth Meyers does comic book stuff. Like this week. Did you see what happened this week with Seth Meyers?
Maybe. Why?
Gwen Stefani and Grant Morrison were his guests on Tuesday.
That's such a funny duo.
Well, I know. I was like, that's never
two people. Do they know each other?
I don't think that they were there at the same time. I just think that those were the two guests.
Do they go together?
I don't know, but Grant Morrison's wearing some sweet red shades.
Ooh, he looks like a writer.
Yeah, he's bald, so he looks like a writer.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But he loves like a good comic book person. For a while there, he had a Kevin Maguire thing, like a Kevin Maguire piece as his profile picture. And it was like Ted Kord.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, Grant Morrison was on. I haven't watched it yet. I like Seth Meyers for that reason. He's had like Brian Michael Bendis on. He's had like Tom King on.
Yeah, I remember the Tom King one.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Seth Meyers or Jimmy Fallon, but they like needed a drummer to fill in or something. You know how they have like bands there?
Yeah.
And they had the drummer for Stray from the Path.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that band?
No.
It's like this like... It's a great like hardcore band from like New York, and this dude's got like neck tattoos and shit.
Sweet.
They don't give a shit. He's wearing a t-shirt. He's drumming and he's like so good.
Nice.
I just thought it was crazy. I'm like, this is so cool. And then they had bands like, and then there's this band, Turnstile, which has just been this like punk band, like a super underground band for like a long time. And then they had this like great album come out last year. And then they were featured on like Kimmel, I think.
Cool.
And now they're touring with like The Story So Far and Blink-182.
Sweet.
Which is like sick,
you know? Dude, did you see those Blink, how expensive those Blink-182 tickets were?
Yeah, so
unbelievable.
I saw the pre-sale for them and it was like $600 or something for like the low stadium or whatever, or even like the nosebleeds, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I didn't even try buying tickets.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And then my barber, like, he got in line or whatever like the second it went on, and he's like, he's in like the lower pit area, but the seat part that's in the back.
Okay.
Yeah, those are like 120 each or something like that.
What?
I'm like, that's pretty good. I'd do that.
Yeah, that's not bad. I would have done that.
I'm like, I was talking to Jack. I'm like, I'll pay up to $300 to be in the pit, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And so, because like, that'd be sick.
That would be cool.
It seems worth it, but I think those are like thousands.
You can mosh to all the small things.
Yeah.
Because people would still want to mosh, even though it's not like a particularly moshable song.
I'd mosh to like "I Miss You," like no problem. Nathan, so we got some Chew news, not about the series, but its creators.
Got some Chews?
Yeah, I got some Chews news, and so it turns out John Layman has a little story in the Image like 10th anniversary like magazine that's been going on.
Oh, cool.
And it's like a little story with the artist Jock.
What?
It's a story called In Hell We Fight.
What?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Yeah, no, it sounds sick.
I can't wait.
I think it's like a teaser.
Like a Chew horror story? Is that?
It has nothing to do with Chew, but it's like the writer from Chew.
Oh.
That's why I bring it up.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought it was in the Chewniverse.
No, not in the Chewniverse. But... I think there was something in there saying that it was like a teaser for a series that's coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which would be sick.
He has been teasing on stuff that's coming, so I'm excited for that.
And then the other Chew news, Rob Guillory has a new book called Mosley coming out in January from Boom Studios.
Whoa. What's going on with the farmhand then?
Maybe it's just an in-between kind of thing. I don't know if it's...
Maybe he needs a break.
I doubt it's over. Yeah, maybe.
I'm definitely not cut up, so I don't know.
I think he's also writing and drawing it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love that dude. A couple DC things.
Yep.
One good, not so good. What would you like first?
Let's go not so good.
Okay. DC is creating NFTs of digital collectible comics. DC is still in on NFTs, Daniel. They're on the up and up.
Did you see that, like, Lord of the Rings is, like, going to become NFTs? Like, different seconds of the movie series will be an NFT that you can own.
That's hilarious.
I know. I'm like, didn't we figure out that this is bullshit, like, a year ago?
Not, like, a year ago, but, like...
this year?
Yeah, this year for sure. Like
all those stoner monkeys have been sold, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You know? The board
Steph
apes.
Steph Curry probably got out when he could.
Yeah, a lot of rug pulls and stuff, but no, DC's full in. They had the Batman cowls, and they're like, you know what?
So that's fine. Are these, like, comics that you get?
So, the idea is comics that already exist.
Oh, my God.
Like, Superman number one, which will be the first one that they take off with, is what they said. Dropping.
Nick Cage is going to buy it.
He's like, I got it. There's going to be like a 3,000 mint run, and you could own the token for that comic, but then you just go to the website to read it. So it's like...
You go to Comixology.
You go to... So that's what they're... They're essentially just going to reprint, I guess, a bunch of like iconic comics.
But digitally.
But digitally as NFTs that they would then just read digitally normally. But you have the token.
But you own it.
It's in the blockchain, Daniel. You own it. So
we need to stop talking about this.
Isn't that insane?
Every time it comes up, I'm just like so pissed off.
I cannot believe that they did it though, because
they probably like, this is were like too new. Deep this in. Was like by the time they got this going.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they did another NFT thing. But I'll report on one more.
We'll look at the prices and see if it was like a bad idea. You know.
Oh, it's a bad idea in general.
Yeah, yeah.
But good news, James Gunn takes over DC film stuff.
Peter Safran.
Yeah, who is that?
He's like a producer on like a lot of stuff. He was like a producer on like the Suicide Squad and
cool
things like that. And he produced a lot of like horror movies too.
Yeah, I see like in a picture, it was like, it was at like the Annabelle premiere, I guess.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to lead film, TV, and animation division, which is pretty cool.
Great idea.
Which also...
You think it's like a Kevin Feige thing?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Sick. That's a great idea.
Which also makes me very hopeful that Harley Quinn will stay a show, because not only is he in the show, he's talked very highly of it, so I think he believes in it.
Sounds like it will, because we haven't heard that it was canceled or anything. So that sounds good.
So that's good stuff.
Speaking of James Gunn, Nathan.
Yeah.
We got a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Yes, we did.
Teaser.
I totally forgot about this.
I thought it was like going to be pushed because like I didn't hear about it. I'm like, oh, I think it's coming in November or something. And I even took it off of our like list of like things to read.
Yeah.
But then like it's coming out in like a month,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. Is this going to be like another hour thing, you think?
I think so.
Okay. Because I'm like, a movie seems like too much.
It'll be like 30 minutes to an hour for sure.
And they got Kevin Bacon to be in it.
They got Kevin Bacon.
Pretty fucking funny.
That is pretty funny.
Kevin Bacon is not in the Marvel Universe, but he is as Kevin Bacon.
Well.
Like, he's not like a superhero.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was in First Class, right?
Right. But okay. We don't even know how they're handling X-Men, so.
What if he's still that character from First Class? Now he's in the MCU, but
what if there's some sort of thing where he, like, had the powers of everyone he's ever played, and he also had that guy's powers and was able to fight against.
What was that guy's powers? I don't even remember.
He was like, he can make stuff explode. He can harness explosions and then redistribute the power.
That's cool.
You remember that?
No. I haven't watched that movie in forever, to be fair. It's a good movie, though.
Good movie.
But that's awesome. Yeah, it looks
remember
like fun.
Remember how he died? Like the coin went in his head?
That's the only thing I remember. That's the only thing I remember of Kevin Bacon's acting career. Like, I haven't really seen a whole lot of movies with him in it. So I don't think that he really has, like, that sort of star power, like, equity, I guess.
I think when it comes to, like, our parents, he does.
Yeah, probably.
But
anyway. It was weird seeing just, like, Guardians on Earth. And I'm like, this is like, taboo almost, yeah, it feels like.
This it's a really
even though
fun
they've been
way
to Earth.
To, like, cut the budget, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than it being like some space thing, it's like, oh, that just they go to Earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is totally normal. They've been on Earth for like Endgame. So,
oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's not even, but it feels weird to me that they're like, let's go to Earth.
They're like in a neighborhood.
What?
They're like in a house.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it looks fun. You know?
Yeah.
Drax and
Mantis.
Mantis have a good time.
Yeah.
They're jumping around.
Yeah. It looks like everyone's going to be in there, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like we'll see how that goes. Nathan.
That's all.
Hollywood Reporter reports that Jon Stewart to be the focus of the Green Lantern HBO show.
I thought
they changed it.
Wasn't it going to be Guy Gardner
and like Alan Scott or whatever?
Probably a good move.
Probably a good move.
I hope they're still in it though. They obviously they would be, right?
I don't know. Did they cast that?
Yeah, they casted Guy Gardner, and I was like, he doesn't have a bowl cut. I don't like it.
You can put a hat. You can put a wig on him.
No, it has to be authentic. You have to grow it out. Put the bowl over.
You have to go to Supercuts. Choose to have a bowl cut. In your normal life.
Yeah.
That's the only way you get cast.
Yeah, that's the only way you get the energy to play that character.
Yeah.
But that's good. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see something on that.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I think it'll be good. I think this is when the Green Lantern brand starts to grow and become the biggest thing and take over the hierarchy of the DC universe.
All right.
Like Black Adam.
All right. Remember that thing that they teased at D23 or whatever? Is the Star Wars thing? It's called Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Well, that's out.
What?
It's out.
Right now?
Today.
Today?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's like Today News. I think it's an anthology.
Do they just like spring it on us? Like, hey, surprise. Or
I don't know.
Did they Beyonce album it?
There might have been a trailer that we just didn't see. But like, I had the Disney Plus app on my phone from when I was flying. And it just sent me a notification. It's like, hey, look. And I'm like, okay. And then I was like, oh, it's here. I thought it was like a trailer or something, but no, it was here.
They Beyonce'd us.
You can watch it now. They're like 14-minute episodes.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty exciting.
So it's an anthology?
I think so.
Okay.
Or it's like it's a series that's focused on two characters, so maybe it's half and half, or it's both of them. Maybe it is continuous.
Okay.
But the way I thought it was an anthology. Did you see the Mitch Gerrard's tease today?
No.
It's some new
teasing
thing.
A new thing.
Yeah, someone.
Ooh, how'd he do it? He's good with his teases.
He posted a picture of some shoes.
Oh, let me see the shoes. I remember the tease that I did for Mr. Miracle, and I was like, I have no idea what the fuck that is, but it looks great.
All right, there's the tease.
I did see that.
What do you got?
Another Batman thing.
Another Batman. How do you get that?
Because
you think that's like a.
It looks like Riddler, like
a young
shoes?
Wayne kind of thing.
Maybe.
I was thinking, it
looks very proper. Unless it's like it's his own like agent espionage thing, like an image thing. But I think it's still
DC.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
So then, a Batman thing.
It also says hashtag Tom King. So
I still need.
It is with him.
Okay, great.
I was like, is this like? For some reason, I went straight to like My Chemical Romance. Yeah, I'm like, interesting.
Oh, wow.
But that's probably not it.
No,
and then I was like, maybe like Umbrella Academy. Because you know how, like, Five has, like, the shorts and stuff? And then just shoes?
It's nothing regarding Umbrella Academy or Jeremy Way, or Gerard Way.
I know, but it'd be cool.
But imagine. That's sick.
It's going to be something that...
I still haven't read One Bad Day.
Neither have I.
But I have it. I plan on it.
Yeah, then we got an Ant-Man trailer.
I saw part of it, I think. Normally, like, when I see trailers, I'll just, like, be forced to see it, and so I don't have to, like, look for it. And then this time, I didn't end up finding it. So I saw, like, parts of it.
Yeah, there's just a way that trailers look that I'm like, oh, it's a trailer. I can't watch this right now.
Yeah.
I'll come back to it. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
I think I saw, like, most of it, though.
It's a different,
I saw different
trailer
clips.
Than the leaked one that I saw.
Okay.
It's a little bit different, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, Jonathan Banks looks pretty good. As Kang?
Is that Kang?
Yeah.
Did you see that picture of him like for the new Creed movie?
Yeah. The Avengers have no chance.
Absolutely yoked. Even if he wasn't Kang, they would lose.
I know. Yeah, the Avengers have no chance against that guy.
Because I saw him like training. I'm like, why is he training if he's going to wear this robe
thing? He had magazine like photo shoot pictures that came out. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus. Yeah, he looks great.
I'm like, how does this man so buff but... Like, so not famous until, like, this year or last year.
I guess he's just going to be the bad guy in Creed, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but it looks fun. Yeah, so they go into like the quantum realm because his kid's dumb and does something dumb, and then he gets sucked in.
Yeah, they make a quantum thingy.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I think that'll be good. Do you think it'll be the best Ant-Man movie?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
This is kind of like news for our book this week.
Okay.
So following the success of Dahmer, Netflix is producing an Aaron Hernandez limited series with John Bernthal in the leading role.
Who's that?
So Aaron Hernandez was a tight end for the New England Patriots. And while he was like playing during the regular season, he supposedly like killed somebody.
He did a moita?
He did a moita. And he just like kept playing. I think they won the Super Bowl that year.
Oh, wow.
And he got, there's a whole documentary on Netflix that came out like a couple years ago. And it was super popular.
When was this?
So this was like 10 years ago, probably.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so recent.
And so, and then he went to jail and then he ended up dying in jail. I can't, there's just like a bunch of like speculation around it. So like the documentary was kind of odd because it's just a lot of people like talking. I'm like, do we trust these people?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But yeah, that's what he looks like. And then that's like a picture of John Bernthal.
Okay, I saw the picture of John Bernthal and I was like, oh my God, John Bernthal looks just like him.
But anyway, so it's just kind of like cool. Another...
He looks like a football guy, John Bernthal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He also looks like a killer. So that's good. Perfect. Good casting.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought that was exciting, you know,
very exciting. Success
of Dahmer.
Yeah. And now...
But anyway.
And now we read different things about serial killer. What did you think of this book, Daniel?
Yeah, I got a couple thoughts.
Okay.
So if I was just picking this up, not knowing anything about Dahmer, I'd be like, this is like prime indie comics, you know?
Yeah.
Just because like I love the art style.
It's amazing.
It was really, really cool.
A really
hand lettered, I'm pretty sure it looks like.
You think so?
Yeah. It kind of looks like it to me. Because it's not like...
No, you might be right.
Not like perfect, you know? Anyway.
Maybe.
It kind of reminds me of like a newspaper comic.
Yeah, it has a very like political cartoon style, which I think he normally does for like an actual newspaper.
Yeah.
So, but I really enjoy that style and it works super well for this.
Yeah, I think when you watch like the show and then go to this, that's probably the best way to do it because then you like know what he does like after this because most of this is just based in like high school. So you really just see like how he is.
Yeah.
And how weird he is.
Yeah. The point of this book is to like show the spiral down basically into like the first killing of Dahmer and like what he was like. And this is like one of the most interesting things I've ever read because the format is like a biographical autobiography.
Yeah.
And I know that those are like two different things, but like it's about Durf Back Durf, which is still
a sick name,
still top 10 names in comics.
That's like us being named Dad Nativity Dad,
yeah,
or something like that.
It's crazy, but like it's about his experience with Dahmer, but it's also a piece about Dahmer.
Yeah,
so it's really interesting how like he is the only person that could make this.
Yeah,
you know, which is insane. Like the stars had to have aligned for like a work like this to like happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like a good thing, you know, that like Dahmer was a serial killer and we got this and so it was all good now.
But he's the only one who had the right to do this.
Yeah, he was the only one that could because he just was the only person in this on this planet that like knew Dahmer a little bit and ended up making comics.
Yeah.
In some form or another, or was like an artist. So it's really interesting to have like this perspective of somebody that's so popular and it doesn't even go into like what most people are, I guess, interested in.
Yeah,
like learning about. So
since it is just like a lot of, you know, us watching him at school and stuff like that, I think I preferred, you can kind of get what the story is just based off of like the short that's in the back matter, you know?
Sure.
But I did like enjoy it and it did flow like really well.
I think there's an incredible amount of research that was put into this.
Oh yeah.
And it was really cool to see.
We'll get into that. I have like Evan Peters like voice in my head when I was like reading this, whenever he had like lines and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, he just imprinted.
Yeah. And it's really weird because a lot of this is like about a high school experience. And I don't really see like my high school experience as anything much different, like from like Durf's point of view, I guess.
Yeah.
I obviously like wasn't killing roadkill like Dahmer, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's very interesting because like this very well could have happened to anybody. I think that's part of the like appeal of like,
yeah,
there's obviously so many signs, but no one ever thought anything of it.
Yeah. Know? Like that, like everyone's had like weird kids at their school.
Yeah, exactly.
And you like, know, because of like examples like Dahmer, like I think people think like they might be a serial killer.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a thing that he says for real, that he said for real. He's like, he's probably a serial killer by now.
Yeah.
And then he was.
It's got to be weird for Durf to like draw him like over and over again.
Yeah.
Like knowing like what he's done and shit like that.
And he's like, oh, I got to make this accurate. From like
memory, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I'm sure he has a lot of reference.
Yeah.
Probably now.
True.
Or at the time of making it, because it was after his death. But
right. But anyway, do you want to...
Yeah, so there's like a prologue, and it's just like a quick few pages showing like an instance when Dahmer would find roadkill and then experiment on them. And this time it was like a cat that he like picks up and is taking to his collection of experiments in like a shed. And he's like showing it to some schoolmates and it like freaks them out. But it just kind of like really sets the stage for like how weird of a person he was as like a kid and like what his interests were. And the pacing is like perfect. I feel like
this kind of had like a lot of the panel setups that you'd see in like manga, you know, like,
yeah,
maximum, like maybe six, you know, and then
maximum six, what
panels?
Oh, like panels. Like yeah.
A page. And so it really flows and there's not dialogue in every panel.
Yeah. A lot of silent panels because of like, I think just how he's, I don't know, silent,
quiet,
and,
dude.
Yeah, quiet he was. And it works very well. But yeah, like his style is very much like political cartoon.
Yeah.
Kind of. So I think that's really cool to see. So that's like the prologue. And part one.
I love when they name the issues or like the parts. I love that.
Yeah, it's so good.
This one's called The Strange Boy.
Yeah. It makes it feel like, I don't know.
Like a book.
Like a real book. But
we would never read a real book, though.
Yeah, definitely not. I like to feel like I'm reading a real book.
Yeah.
I would never read this in a novel.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, so part one, it starts with Durf giving background on Dahmer while in, like, the beginning years of high school. And it's, like, years before his first kill. And it's some, like, weird behavior that Dahmer would sort of adopt while living in Ohio. But also, it kind of sets the stage for his really tough home life with like a disconnected dad and like a super moody mother, and they're always fighting and stuff. There's this panel where Durf like finds, or I just like how Durf finds room for like silent pages like all throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this scene where Dahmer's like experimenting with like a fetal like pig that he's taken, and it's like right in the middle. It like really breaks up like all of the like the dialogue or like the exposition, just kind of setting up his life.
Yeah.
Cause it was like right after telling like a lot of explanation about like his home life and how lonely it was. And then you just see like this panel where he's like really interested in this like fetal pig that's like dead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
I can't help but just compare it to the show. Like there was a lot of stuff on like his parents, which was, they like mentioned the stuff in it, like how his mom left and stuff.
Yeah.
And you see his dad, like just in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really just honing in on like what Durf knows.
Yeah.
Which is like how he was at school and stuff. And even like the house looks like pretty familiar to the one like in the show. Cause I think they were being pretty accurate about that sort of thing.
In the show or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
He was in the comic as well. He like went to inside of that house after everything.
He went after?
Yeah, someone lives in there.
Right, okay.
And he happened to know the person that lives in that house.
Ah.
And he like let him in, and he like took, Durf would actually like take measurements of like the shit, like the structure of the house so that he could make it accurate in his book.
I didn't read the back matter, but I figured like he just drew it from memory or something. Yeah. Like maybe he's been in the house.
No, it's really cool. Like he wrote down like the dimensions and stuff of like the living room and all that so he can make it accurate in here. So he put like a lot of time into like making this right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I wonder how long this took.
So long.
To finish.
Like it must years? Take so, probably like about a year.
When did this come out?
I don't know, but he read like an entire FBI case study on Dahmer that was like 10,000 pages.
So this came out in like 2011.
Okay.
So he got caught in like 93 or 91 and died in 93.
Did he die in 93?
I think so.
I thought it was more recent.
Early 90s.
Okay.
No. But because he wasn't in jail for long.
But this is like an ebook version, which came out after the like print run of it, I believe.
Oh, you think so?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what the timeline is, but. But anyway, Dahmer like starts to become interesting to Durf after like he starts mimicking his mom's interior decorator who has cerebral palsy. And you see a little bit of that in the show, but he really hones into it in this book.
There's a lot of him. It's super uncomfortable.
Yeah, I hated it. And like it also dives into a little into Dahmer's like realization that he's gay and he kind of has like this kink for dead men.
Yeah. Which,
so it shows a lot. But yeah, this like cerebral palsy bit that he does for kids' attention.
Super fucked up.
Yeah, very fucked.
Definitely a different time, but I guess, to where
it definitely was, because I think to them, they're laughing at somebody doing funny looking thing.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if they necessarily knew that it was a guy with cerebral palsy. He would just, because.
Yeah, it was just like.
The way that he explains it, he just like started acting weird like that, and they thought that that was funny, and they would start calling it Dahmerisms and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think they figured out until later that it was cerebral palsy, but.
So the short version of this that's in the back matter, that was self-published in 2002.
Yep.
But the book that we were reading is like, did come out in like 2012.
Oh, okay.
So.
Gotcha. Yeah, because
his name is John. His first name is not Durf.
It's not Durf Back Durf?
It's John Durf Back Durf. Like Durf is like his like nickname, oh, which is a cool nickname.
That is.
And so it's like his pen name.
That makes me feel better.
Because like.
Because Durf Back Durf.
We're still going to call him Durf.
I'm going to call him Durf.
Yeah. It's a great name.
That's so funny. It was published
from Abrams Comic Arts.
Initial print run? Or
the
book that we're reading right now?
The book.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So not Fantagraphics.
Gotcha.
But I think, doesn't Fantagraphics come up in this?
They do.
I think he.
I think he did another book called like Trashed or something with Fantagraphics.
Right.
Or. He's done like three other comic book works before this, to my understanding.
I'd be super interested in seeing that to see like how,
like his style changes.
Yeah,
yeah, and like
he does another like murder thing,
because I think this is the only like nonfiction thing that he's done.
Uh huh. He so. Just published something with Abrams again in 2020.
Oh,
and it's about like. Some shootings that happened in the 70s at Kent State.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's really into the, like the nonfiction fucked up shit, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in reading that too. Cause I think this had like, after reading this, like in the couple days it took me to read it, every time I would like stop reading it for the day, I would feel kind of fucked. Like it made me feel like, oh man, this is a dark world that we live in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I think he really does have, he does a really good job of like making the reader empathize.
This didn't make me feel like that. I think the show did that more because you saw what he was doing, which is super duper fucked up. And this was kind of more just like what he saw kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, oh, and also the thing that I just mentioned, the Kent State book, that won an Eisner.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. In 2020?
21.
Oh, 21. Wow.
The book was, you know how like,
what was the Eisner?
Best reality-based work.
Oh, okay.
So, an Eisner is an Eisner, Nathan.
Yeah.
Don't be nitpicky.
Well, I was just wondering, like, if it was a Eisner that we, like, skimmed over, or, like, maybe he won it in place of somebody else.
This is last year.
So, we would have, like, skimmed over and be like, I don't know who that is.
I don't even know if we, like, even read, like, the reality-based works.
No, I don't think so. But there's this, like, other kid in this story named Fig. Who would like constantly be getting into trouble and like causing bigger scenes, which I feel like is really important because it takes the attention off of Dahmer.
Right.
Because he's like the one that everybody be like, oh, that's the weird kid of the school. So I think that that's an interesting part of the whole story as well.
Yeah. I guess he like Durf even like sat next to him in like science class.
Dahmer,
so yeah. So it's not like he happened to go to the same school and like saw him around, because he was kind of like,
yeah, he was like classmates with him.
Yeah, like I guess like cordial, I guess, or an acquaintance, I guess.
Yeah,
in a way,
definitely.
But just laughing at whatever thing he was doing.
Mm-hmm. We have the start of the Dahmer fan club, which is treating like Dahmer as pretty much like a mascot in praising his like strange behavior, doing like the cerebral palsy bit. And while at home, his life consisted of watching his mom like overdose on pills pretty much until passing out from twitch exhaustion, which I didn't even know was a thing. But it just kind of paints a picture like school was like the only thing he really had, and he didn't really have much then.
Yeah.
And then whenever he would go home, it's just like this fucked up situation watching his mom like get addicted to pills and stuff.
Right.
And was like they mostly didn't
touch on that in the show either.
Yeah, which is why I enjoy like a lot of this, because it creates a lot of background and shows like the spiral really well.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There was even a bit when they're talking about the fan club or whatever, and they start showing like Durf's like early Dahmer drawings,
mm-hmm.
because like they're gonna just put him on like a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And I thought that was crazy.
That's just a good bit.
He's copied and pasted it and put it in there.
Yeah.
And you can see how like it's definitely come along, you know?
Yeah. I like that Durf expresses what he hears a lot in the vein of like, oh, why didn't you help him? Or like, why didn't you get him help? And then he challenges that with like, what about the adults, you know?
Yeah.
Because like as a kid, you're not going to like narc, is what he says, essentially. Yeah. Like, especially in that time. And there were like people also just like doing weed and stuff. Like there were still like stoners.
Yeah.
And so he like challenges it with like, why didn't adults like of all people like see anything, do anything about it?
So the I think only that thing that's that he interesting. Knew was that like that he was like off,
yeah,
and pretty quiet, you know.
Like, but I know himself. People like that now, and I'm like,
exactly.
But I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, it's not like yeah, maybe he saw like some of the animals and shit like that, but mm-hmm. like that was like roadkill that he found. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't like hurting anybody, kind of thing, to where he'd be like, this guy needs help, kind
of
thing.
Yeah, an interesting difference between what I've seen of the show on Netflix and this is that there's that guy that's like running.
Yeah.
And Dahmer's like about to hit him with a bat in the show. Like he jumps out of the bush and is like about to knock him out.
Yeah.
But in here, he like just never shows up, that runner, when he, yeah. when Dahmer's about to do it. So I wonder what actually happened.
Maybe it was a different occurrence or something.
Maybe.
To where like one time he didn't show up, and then another time he actually went after him, kind of thing. But
it could be, or maybe Durf didn't know like what really went down in that situation at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets a lot of this from the FBI case after Dahmer was arrested and like was very open about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets a lot of like the timeline and weaves it in with his own experiences.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting because when I was watching the show, I'm only like 3 or 4 episodes in.
Oh, okay.
I was watching The Runner. And so Sophia was like right next to me, and I was like, I know what happens. I don't want to spoil it though. And then he like jumps out, and I'm like, what's going on? This isn't supposed to happen. This isn't canon.
What?
This doesn't make sense.
Comic at all.
Yeah. So I just thought that was funny. It'd be funny to be like, that wasn't in the book.
Yeah.
About someone's actual life.
So there is like the movie adaptation of this book, which seems like it wouldn't be as great as like the show, because it is just him at school.
It doesn't really have like that sort of hook of yeah, like the killing and
like how brutal stuff. It is or whatever, and like seeing that sort of stuff. So it might be kind of boring just seeing this kid be like weird, you know?
Yeah, I'd still be kind of interested.
I'm glad that it was adapted and that's cool. You know?
That is cool.
You know, comics being adapted, especially with something like this.
But. Yeah. Because this seems pretty like, I don't hear a lot of people talk about this, but it's a pretty incredible work, I feel like.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it, you know, around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a serial killer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So we're on to part two now, A Secret Life.
Another thing that they mentioned in the first one, he was also on like, he also played like trumpet and was on like a tennis team.
Yeah.
I'm like, why didn't he do more of that kind of thing?
Yeah. Or just do more extracurriculars.
Yeah. Like, that'll keep him out of trouble.
Maybe join the chess club.
But that was something I just like didn't know. Like,
yeah, I didn't know
learning from this and that stuff that's was brushed over, you know, in
yeah,
like the show, you know.
Yeah, it really was, because that's like pretty normal kid behavior.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So in part two, Durf goes on a fishing trip thing with Dahmer at a lake, and Dahmer catches a fish, and Durf is like, oh, you're supposed to throw them back, they're pretty small. But instead, Dahmer just repeatedly stabs it with a knife until it's just a bunch of like itty bitty pieces. And it is, this sequence is so freaky to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because he like catches it, he puts it on the ground, he's like looking at it, and I love what he does with like the shading on his face when he's thinking dark thoughts.
Oh, it's like so you can tell.
It's so, oh, so fucking weird. And then just stabbing it multiple times, and you see like the fish's face, even though he's like dead already. I don't know. Yeah. Just all of it was done really well. It,
his face looks like he just got stabbed a lot.
Yeah. And then Durf's like, what'd you laugh for? You know, and it is so creepy, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, he just shook it off. But like even this like splash page where he's just like, I just wanted to see what it looked like. And he's kind of like towering over it.
Yeah.
So weird. And then Dahmerisms become like a term, which is basically Dahmer doing his tick. And he's also starting his alcoholism journey at school. And so he's kind of like numbing his feelings of sick urges, and still like no teacher would ever notice like this behavior pretty much.
Yeah.
And there's a quote from like an actual teacher that he interviewed that says, I can't say there were any signs that he was different or strange. So like he just like was totally under the radar with all of this, even the drinking.
Yeah.
And I like the question that like Durf poses of like, could he have been saved if like these activities had been like intercepted, you know, early on?
Probably.
I tend to think, yeah.
Even if I guess we knew about these sort of like mental disorders or whatever he might have had, and that sort of thing was like treated as much as possible, and he definitely had like a close eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a lot of this shit wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Or at least not as much, I guess.
Yeah. Durf mentions he would probably be like hopped up on antidepressants and stuff a lot, which also not a great thing, but better than killing people for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if it helps,
I guess. Yeah, like I think that if you intercept like this behavior early enough, you'd probably be able to stop it.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting thing to ponder.
They didn't bring up like the surgery that he had when he was like a kid. Which is, I guess there's something with his heart or something, and then he just kind of was never the same.
Yeah, that was surprising. Yeah, it's interesting piecing together like more parts of the story in conjunction with the show.
Which is why like reading this was fun.
Yeah.
Because like if you hadn't watched the show but read the book first, you might not even be interested to watch the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So kids would like notice weird behavior. They would like smell booze on him, or like Dahmer would be laughing at someone's like genuine pain.
Mm-hmm.
Of like other kids. And then Dahmer would eventually start to strip flesh off of the bones of roadkill by like hand rather than doing his like acid, you know, maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like still kind of quick on his feet. And like one time on like a field trip to like DC, he got in with like Durf and a couple friends to meet like the current vice president at the time.
Right.
Of the like United States.
Yeah, just like pretending to be a bunch of things and like.
Yeah, he like called and he just used his like, I don't know, his charm or whatever to like get in and be like, hey, we're students. We'd really like to, you know, meet. And it's just insanity.
He was in the Oval Office.
With the vice president.
The vice president Oval Office.
Just like a phone call.
I don't know where the vice president, what office he's in. The square office.
The square office. Rectangle. And like
the trapezoid office.
It's crazy that like the intellect on Dahmer is pretty wild. Be able to do that on a whim, seemingly, but he was also probably able to create those opportunities so often because he's just constantly like making things up to try and seem normal.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he would be able to think on his feet like that. And then at the end of the school year, when he needed his family the most during like a very lonely summer, his parents were going through like a super ugly divorce. So they were kind of swept up in their own problems and they neglected Jeff, and he just kind of gets like closer and closer, like killing living animals, which is something that he hadn't done before.
Yeah.
And so it shows like the scene with his dog that he takes on like a leash and he like runs with him to like his kill spot in the forest, or like where he skins like the animals. And it's a great scene with like pacing, because he like lures the dog in with like a sausage or whatever, takes him, and he's like running across the street and stuff. And I'm just like, fuck, is he about to kill an animal right now?
Yeah, I was like, this is going to really ruin the book for me.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, is this about to be a bad book? My one rule, if you kill a dog, it's a bad book.
Bad book.
I'm like, please don't. But thankfully, it's a good book, because Dahmer stops himself from killing like a big animal that has feelings.
Yeah.
So that was just like really freaky, because as he's like walking away, like there's skulls of like roadkill and stuff. Like
I didn't notice that till just now.
Yeah. So it's a really Like, you can tell, like, I like the scene because you can tell that Dahmer is still fighting the urge to, like, kill living things and dissect them and stuff.
Like, he knows it's, like, wrong.
Yeah, you know? He knows.
And he even knew when he got, like, caught that everything he was doing was, like, wrong.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But he still has, like, the smallest, like, string of...
empathy?
Empathy or, you know, sanity.
Right.
So, yeah, great scene. And so that ends part two, and now we're on to part three, the Dahmer fan club. And it's 1977. They're going into their senior year. Durf would sneak Dahmer into yearbook photos, and he would like draw him into like student council posters. And I think that's a great bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny, like sneak someone into like clubs that they're not a part of.
Yeah.
And so the Dahmer fan club starts putting money together for Dahmer to do his bit, but like at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so Durf also mentions that the entire senior year, he was like always kind of in character. Like they never really had like a normal conversation with him. It was always just him being this like character.
I feel like they'd get old. Like they always seem to be laughing at it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I feel like it would get old too. Yeah. But like, it's like the obsession with him is so strange. Like I know we're getting all this context from the year all at once, but I still feel like they were really involved with like this meme, you know?
Yeah.
But Dahmer was always drunk at school, and he would like never drink at home because he thought it was safer to drink at school. He'd bring a briefcase that he would put booze in because that wasn't like the typical stoner style, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, he's really, really learned to lay low. And he's like, oh, I'll just wear this because people think I'm a fucking nerd and they won't think I'm drinking.
Dude, I don't know how he kept like doing that, because you feel pretty shitty like at the end of the day if you're like, you know, day drinking. Or, like,
that's at the end
drinking of
the day and his mom doesn't care about him.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's this also interesting scene where Durf plays Hitler in a play and he interacts with Dahmer, which is kind of poetic in a way.
Yeah.
It's just like Hitler talking to a serial killer.
Uh-huh.
It's very strange, but...
I wonder when that started to be like just unacceptable. Like,
yeah.
Like, but
like,
anyway.
Like playing Hitler and things and like having a German accent.
Or like just the mustache, you know?
Just, yeah, exactly. My question is where is he keeping like his beer stash?
So he had like a bunch of spots like hidden around school that he just walked to at any point.
So they were just warm beers that he'd be
probably
pounding?
Probably. Or even like... In this next scene, they like go to Dahmer's house or whatever.
Yeah, he goes somewhere and like picks up beer.
Yeah.
In like a bag.
Dude, I can't even like
does he have a
sip
back fridge?
Warm beer. Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
He must have a back fridge that the mom doesn't use.
I guess. Because like there was a time in like the 70s where like you could drink alcohol at like 18.
Yeah, is that this time?
Yeah, so this was like in the middle of the 70s.
Was he legally purchasing beer?
Possibly.
Okay.
Because I think this right now... The time we're talking about is his senior year.
So he'd probably be about 18. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just remember from like this one episode of That 70s Show where like, what was his name? Whoever Ashton Kutcher's character was.
It's like Turk or something.
It's not Fez. It's not Hyde.
Kelso.
His name is Kelso?
Michael Kelso.
Okay. So like Kelso was held back a year, but he didn't tell anybody.
Oh.
But then they were in like junior year or whatever. And then Hyde finds out and he's like, Are you telling me that this whole time you could have been buying us beer?
And you're like,
and they all got mad at him. So like being held back was like a cool thing because you could have bought beer.
Yeah.
But
being like a super senior.
Yeah. I'm like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I never knew of a time where you didn't have to be 21.
Yeah. When did that happen? It must have been like 80s, I guess.
I don't know. Some dumb time.
Yeah.
Because now you have to be 21 to buy, like, cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like, once, like, weed was, like, legalized here, they just did, like, all the smoking
stuff. Is that 21 as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn liberals.
I mean, I didn't even notice. You didn't even notice.
I didn't notice. I don't indulge.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there's a scene where Durf and his buddy picks up Dahmer so that he can go to his big performance at the mall that the Dahmer fan club, like, put together.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way there, it's like a 10-minute drive, crushes 6 beers.
That's insane.
Which is like, and like that was the moment that Durf was like, this guy's kind of fucked up.
Nathan, I think in the spirit of this scene,
oh God,
we should both try and chug six packs of beer.
Did you get six packs of beer?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, maybe I could do like one in like the speed that Dahmer would do, you know?
I think...
No. I can crush one beer, but I can't crush consecutive beers.
Consecutive beers is hard.
Yeah.
Because like I just get so full, like shotgunning something.
How does he not? He's still like ripped too. Like he's pounding tons of beer and he's ripped.
Which doesn't make sense based off of like what I know about like the body. Because like drinking alcohol like disrupts what's called like muscle protein synthesis.
Yeah.
Which is like what just makes your muscles bigger or whatever.
I don't know.
So if you're drinking that, if you're... You're lifting weights, like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a good pre-workout.
If there's any reason I was jealous of Jeffrey Dahmer for something, it's this.
Being ripped and
just being ripped and crushing six packs.
Oh, man. We should try that at a party.
Yeah.
I think there's no way. Like, at three, I'm throwing up, I think, just because of how much is in my stomach.
Yeah.
Not the alcohol poisoning or whatever.
Yeah. Probably same.
We should, at your Halloween party, we should do the Dahmer challenge.
Just PBR.
Yeah, six PBRs.
Oh, God.
And if you win...
I think there was a Jeffrey Dahmer themed like drink package at a bar that I went to recently, where they would give you a PBR, a cigarette, and like a shot of whiskey or something, or scotch or whatever it was. And I was like, is that a Jeffrey Dahmer reference?
It's pretty fucked up.
I know, that is fucked up.
Yeah, that is crazy. Anyway.
So yeah, they get to the mall, and... He does his like big thing. He walks around and he does his bit and he kind of just disrupts people and acts weird. And then they drop him off. And that kind of just ends like the Jeffrey Dahmer fan club. And it was kind of like a weird prank, I guess, that they were doing. It's like I guess that would be like the equivalent nowadays, just someone acting weird to get a reaction out of people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This whole thing was weird. I hope it didn't go for like that long. The book makes it seem like it went for like 2 hours.
It might have been.
And that would definitely get old, but that was at least like the end of, I guess.
I feel like this is the equivalent of like those like prank YouTube shows.
Yeah, you that's know? What I'm saying. Like
why are you fucking with people?
Yeah, just let them be.
Leave
you know?
People alone.
So that was the end of part three, and now part four, becoming the monster. It's like going into the last weeks of high school.
Hold on one sec, sorry.
What's up? Oh, he's also skipping school a lot at this point.
So he like got away with like all this shit in like high school. So like I feel like that he's almost like learning on like how to get away with shit. And that kind of like led to him being good at getting away with murder.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, there was a scene here that I thought was really funny. I gotta skip back. It was like just this panel specifically, I just love like the proportions. Because it's like a shot of the school bus, and the school bus is just like out of frame.
Yeah.
Because of like the top down view or whatever. And I don't know. I just thought it was really funny.
Wait, what do you mean the proportions? Just
like, I guess you can see, it looks like the front of the bus, right?
So you see it looks the back like it's curved up?
Yeah. I don't know. But that like, it fits to the style. It does.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, because it looks like so natural because it's like, it goes along with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, if you think about it, this looks kind of funny. But it was really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, part four.
Part four. It's going into last week's of high school. Dahmer was kind of cast out of the friend group at this point, and it forced him to sit with the bottom of the hierarchy, which is the weird kids, like Fig and some of the other ones. He was basically skipping every class, and also like one of the dog carcasses that he like stripped to bone was found, and it had people at school thinking that it was like a devil cult. So like not even the slightest, you know, thing that would be Dahmer. I don't know why people would like point to Dahmer, but yeah, like he's getting creative with like his kills, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
Of animals, at least. It's insane that he propped it up on a stick. Like, did he actually do that?
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Yeah. Or maybe he meant for it to look like a devil thing to see like what people would think about it, or I don't know, but...
Seems like a lot of thinking that I don't think he did.
Yeah, probably not. He was probably like, this would be cool. Prom came around, and Dahmer did a sick move where he brought a girl, ditches her to go get McDonald's, then comes back because he didn't like want to deal with the social interaction, and then he drops her off and gives her a firm handshake.
Yep. Like a true gentleman.
Kind of sick. Dude plays hard to get.
Power move.
I can respect that.
The fact that he had a date was pretty insane.
That is pretty.
It was just like someone whose friend was going that was an underclassman.
Yeah.
So that was like her way in. Maybe he knew that.
Potentially, yeah. But that is, yeah, it seems weird that it seems like if he was going to go, he would just kind of like cower in the corner, you know?
And like Durf didn't have a date. Like he didn't even go.
Which is so funny.
He just went to the movies.
Yeah. Which I've done that for dances. Not prom, but for dances.
Yeah. Like homecoming and shit.
Yeah. So. There's a scene where Dahmer's mom leaves with his brother while his dad is still at like motels, is basically where he's living.
Right.
And then she's saying things like, there's nothing for me here. Big burn.
Damn.
And then she's like, you'll be okay by yourself. And then makes him promise not to tell his dad about her leaving,
mm-hmm.
which is fucked. And she takes his brother. Did I say that?
Yeah.
So not only was his dad, his mom, and his brother out of the picture, but he didn't have friends anymore. So he's like completely isolated with his own fucked up thoughts and stuff. So this was kind of like one of the last like few things to happen, I think, that made like a big impact on just him spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
Which is so messed up. And so graduation happened. And then 2 weeks later, Durf was off to college to take on life that's full of hope and possibility. And that same day, Dahmer picks up a hitchhiker that he later kills. And so there's like the part where he's like leaving the school bus on like the last day of school. And there's like a lot of silent like stuff, but there's like narration over it. I think that he does really good, like spelling out that the story is like so tragic, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like Dahmer being quiet and he's just doing what he's doing. And meanwhile, there's like captions of like his life essentially ended this day. Or like this will be the last straw, or the rest of his life would be living hell kind of thing. And so, you know, it's just tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of part four. I feel like there must have been pictures of this hitchhiker because it looks really close to what was like in the show.
Probably, yeah. I mean, when someone goes missing kind of thing.
But like maybe like the show, like, I don't know, based the look. But like how would they know that he was like shirtless and he has like a thing? I don't know. Maybe that's what like Dahmer would explain in like the FBI case.
Probably.
Yeah. But I was like, damn, that actually like looks pretty similar to him.
Yeah, I know.
That was like the last episode I watched. It was like after he killed him. They're like working out, crushing beers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what a life. So then part five called Fade to Black. So there's that scene where he's driving to the dump at 3 a.m. to dispose of this hitchhiker that's now chopped up and in body bags. And he gets pulled over and he like narrowly evades the cops. Like, and they're even like, what's in the trash bags? And he's like, trash. And like, it's a crazy scene, like this whole thing, because he was pretty nervous and he was like, fuck, I did something wrong for sure. You know?
So I don't remember this in the show. I think
it's in the show.
It is.
Yeah.
They asked what was in the trash bags.
And he's like clippings or something, like tree clippings or shrubbery clippings or whatever. Yeah. But in here, he says that he was going to the dump because he had to take him out anyway to the dump.
Yeah.
And he couldn't sleep or something like that.
Gotcha.
And they did like the whole, are you drunk? And they made him do like the touch your nose thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that was a thing that actually happened because that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I thought it was like they could smell like the alcohol on him in the
that's
show.
That's what happened in the show. Like they could smell and he's like, I don't want to end your life. Just go back home kind of deal.
Right.
So... Which I feel like that's probably more what happened because they let him go in here and I feel like he would still take him to the dump, but
yeah.
Anyway, so later his friend Mike would be driving down the road and pick up Dahmer to like take him home. And it's very likely that he like parked behind Dahmer's car, which probably still had the body in trash bags in like that trunk. So he was probably like 10 feet away from like a mutilated body.
Yeah.
Which is like, literally the last day that anyone would see Dahmer. And so it's crazy hearing about like the timeline stuff.
Yeah.
And then the epilogue is Durf meeting up with some old friends talking about high school. And this is before Dahmer's outed as a serial killer, but they're actually saying Dahmer's probably a serial killer by now. Like those are actual words that left his mouth.
Yeah.
While Dahmer's out being a serial killer. So kind of eerie.
Definitely.
But that's the book. So, craziness.
Definitely.
And so, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
And this is some of the most in-depth back matter I think we've ever had.
It's almost our biggest back matter because this is like 70 pages.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I read through a lot of it, and it's all very interesting to see like how he weaves like this narrative together. Because it would be really hard to try and remember things, try and get other people to remember things, and then weave that in with like a timeline that actually happened based off of like news articles and stuff like that. So it's really impressive that everything's so cohesive.
Right.
I think.
It doesn't seem like choppy, really.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
There's some jumps in time, but other than that, it seems...
Yeah, but he like lists his sources, and there's like tons, including...
We get another bibliography, Nathan.
Yeah, we get a bibliography, which is sick. What was the last one we got? Was that from...
Good Asian,
Yeah. So there's tons of sources, including personal memories and interviews with like friends and teachers, FBI case studies of Dahmer that were like 10,000 pages or something like that. News outlets, and then a father's story, which is, I guess, Lionel Dahmer's book.
Yeah.
Which I guess he would use a lot of those profits to fight legal cases from like Dahmer's victims, which is crazy, but makes sense.
They get to that.
Do they?
In the show, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah. There's even like a really granular breakdown of like page 30, like this is when I remember of this time, or like page 40 to whatever. This is what I took from the FBI case, and this is what it meant. So it's like a really sick breakdown of like everything that he didn't necessarily need to do.
So if you like ever felt like you needed to doubt whatever he's doing, he's like, this is why I came up with that part. You know,
I would never be like, nah, it didn't happen. But it's, I mean, if you really want to dig like that deep and know like, you know, why he made certain like artistic decisions, this is like a really big breakdown. So I didn't read through all this, but pretty cool that it's there. It has the players, which goes over Jeffrey Dahmer up into his death, Joyce's death, Lionel Dahmer, and then like the Dahmer fan club. So it's like a where they are now kind of deal. And there's some like pretty dark things in here. Like when Jeff was killed, Joyce, the mom, was like, is everyone happy now? Like that was the first thing she said when she found out.
When
Joyce, like Dahmer's mom,
found
out that he was killed in prison, the first thing that she would say is everyone happy now? Which is pretty dark.
Yeah, and she's super fucked up.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we get like another kind of like little couple panels where it's like him at work or something.
Finding out.
Durf. And his like wife was like a reporter when Dahmer got caught. And she's like, someone from your high school is a serial killer. And she guesses like, what's his name? The first guy?
Yeah. She's like, guess who from your high school ended up being a serial killer? And he's like, Fig?
And they're like,
nope. He's like, Dahmer?
Yeah. So his second guess.
Yeah. His second guess of who would be a serial killer, which, you know, pretty good. Pretty good instincts.
Oh, we got some ebook exclusive bonus material.
Yeah. I love that. Some Back Matter exclusives.
Yeah, something for being a subscriber to Comixology Unlimited.
So there's like extra scenes where...
They're like deleted scenes almost.
Yeah, it's like...
And he tells you where they would have been in the book, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. Like when you're reading past it, they're like, oh, deleted scene, go to this page or whatever.
Yeah.
But one of them includes Dahmer getting caught drinking at school and then getting hit at school when they would do licks, I guess, which is like the board that they would slap
which is
pretty dark.
Holy shit.
I mean, like, they would do that for sure, I think, in the 70s, because they didn't realize the emotional backlash and drama that comes with it. Yeah. But it has, like, sketches of a lot of the scenes as well, and he's got some pretty sick pencils. I'm not gonna lie.
His pencils are really cool.
Yeah, he, like, definitely just, like, does everything, and then he just kind of inks over it. Like, he doesn't really leave much for like inking to do, really, which you know, is a good strategy. There's a ride with Fig where Dahmer is in the car with Fig driving, and Fig runs over a live dog, and Dahmer is like weirded out by it.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting scene because obviously he's a serial killer, but like there's still things in there that freak him out.
Yeah. Like he has like a line, I guess.
Like he still has like empathy, I guess, at this point, or I think he still always had empathy, which is a weird thing with him because a lot of them wouldn't be.
I think this is good thing to cut out just because the dog dies, but like,
yeah, true. It would have been a bad book.
It would have given him like a little bit more, a kind of an understanding of how he is, you know?
Yeah, it would have shown definitely that he's like not completely, he's never been like too far gone.
You right.
know? But I do agree.
But well, you know what I mean? I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a small story of, oh no, there's one where he's attempting to dig up a grave of a deceased classmate that they like used to know. It's like after high school, but he actually tries to dig up a recently killed person that he knew to just like fulfill his fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But the ground was like frozen over, so it was pretty much like as hard as concrete, so he didn't really get very far. But he cut this one out because the point of the story was to lead up to him doing his kills, and he makes it very clear that like any empathy or pity or whatever is like not deserved anymore once he decides to kill.
Yeah.
So he cut this part out, which I think makes sense, but it still shows like how desperate he was to like, I don't know, fulfill his kinks.
Right.
And then there's like the small initial like 8 to 10 page story of my friend Dahmer.
That was in Fantagraphics.
That one was in Fantagraphics. Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. But yeah, it's like a light version of this, but definitely cuts out like some big things. But there's also some similarities, like the him chopping up the fish and whatever.
Mm.
So, and then, you know, some sketches. There's the student council like sketches that he would like introduce or integrate Dahmer in, which is interesting. So there's like real like drawings and stuff. And then there's the sketchbook of Dahmer's home that he would like actually go and like measure out, because I guess his home was purchased in 2006 by a well-known musician that he had recently befriended. It's crazy to me that like someone would choose to buy that, because this is in 2006. So this is like very well known probably to be like the Jeffrey Dahmer house.
Yeah.
So it's insane. But I guess, I don't know. I always think about like that person in the Breaking Bad house, and she fucking hates that she's in the Breaking Bad house.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on.
Like,
I would get it if like people are,
pizzas on the roof.
I would get that because that's like vandalism pretty much.
Yeah.
But if people are like walking by, she'll like yell at them. So it's insane. But yeah, it's cool that he went to like this level to sketch out like the actual house that he would then integrate in like scenes and stuff. And then yearbook photos. So like real pictures of Jeffrey Dahmer, which are interesting to look at. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's crazy like seeing like a picture of him like as a kid.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, that's Evan Peters.
Yep. Pretty much. And that's the book, Daniel. What would you rate this? It's weird to try and compare this to food.
Yeah.
But I love this. I think this is like one of the most interesting things I've ever read, just because of the format of it and the contents of it. Because we don't really read a whole lot of like non-fictional things, you know?
Nathan, I give it a PBR tall boy.
I like that.
Yeah. And I crush it in under 10 minutes.
I give it a six pack that I crush in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I think I'd be like in like the love it area. You know, I get that Durf didn't know all the things that he did necessarily, and he didn't incorporate like the murders and stuff, which would have been like probably unnecessary and kind of get away from like what it was. It was just supposed to.
Plus, there's tons of coverage on the details of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he fits into like an area that largely isn't that explored, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I definitely really enjoyed it, and
I'm interested in seeing his other work.
Yeah,
Mr. Durf.
What do you give it, Nathan? You give it the
six pack.
Okay,
that I crush, because I crushed this, and I would crush some PBR.
Yeah.
So let's go into the poll list. Call in.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Pretty solid week.
I didn't make it to the shop, but what did you get, Aiden?
I got Human Target, number 8.
Uh-huh.
Riddler Year 1 came out by Paul Dano, the Riddler himself.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a couple of really good covers of that, too, but I just got the original, because I think it's by, like, Bill Sienkiewicz, and I love that.
He's doing the covers.
I got Vanish, number 2.
Did you read the first one?
No, I'm going to, though.
I'm going to read it and then decide if I want the second one.
Yeah, that's fair. And then number 2 of Sergeant Rock versus Army of the Dead came out.
Ooh, gotcha. I have to keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm. And I picked up also Human Target number 7 because I saw the cover and I was like, I don't think I have that. And so I picked it up.
And you have it.
And now I have it now.
Oh, okay.
Or I don't know actually if I had it before. It's probably somewhere in like that pile. But I read 7 and 8 because I hadn't read 7 yet since it came back from like the hiatus.
Oh, right.
And it's so good, that book. Oh, yeah. It is unreal.
That's just like a 10 on like all cylinders.
It really is, yeah. Because it's like a sick like mystery. Mm-hmm. There's recognizable like fun characters in there. There's some I don't recognize, so I'm interested in them. And then Greg Smallwood carries everything so well. And there's like a couple panels in here that, in number 8 specifically, that blew me away. Okay. Still, like knowing how good it is.
Yeah, your expectations are so high. If he does
not get an Eisner, I'm making my own awards, and I'm giving him all of them. I'm giving him the writing award too.
Did we already give him a TWA award?
Probably.
Trade Raiders award?
I don't think so. Oh, for Human Target though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give him another one.
When we finally make them into physical Trade Raiders awards.
I said if anybody DMs us that they want a trophy, I would make one.
Because what was that one dude that was like, thanks?
Oh,
The
inker.
The inker of the year. J.P. Mayer.
J.P. Mayer, that's what it is. Is there anything that you're going to pick up that I did not?
Did you get Batman Fortress number 6?
Oh, fuck, I missed it.
Okay, I don't know it came out. My app said it came out, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And then Firepower number 24.
That is still coming out?
Yeah, it's like...
Holy shit.
I think that's Robert Kirkman's like life right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Because I don't think he has anything else coming out. And then doing his normal Image stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I just feel like Samney's still doing like other things, it feels like. But I guess it's just Jonna.
And Jonna hasn't even come out in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
And wait, did it like end or?
It might have like ended.
Or maybe hiatus.
I think. Because he's doing. I think more so hiatus.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Did you read anything?
I did not. Busy weekend. Busy week.
It's fair.
I've been working like 10-hour days. So
holy shit.
I never like come home. I'm like, let's read a book.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, so I'm fucking tired.
I read Human Target 7 and 8. I also read Old Dog number 1 by Declan Shalvey.
Oh yeah, how's that?
It's pretty good. It's about like this special agent dude, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like an old guy when he is roped into something that he doesn't like quite understand, and he shoots like this weird technology thing trying to shoot somebody else. And there's like a bunch of like really weird trippy stuff that looks really cool visually.
Mm-hmm.
But that like throws him into a coma for 8 years, and he has like this ability or this thing that he can do, and I don't really understand what it is, but he like switches back and forth between being young and being old, and I don't know what like triggers it.
So he's not traveling time, he just becomes younger?
It's like a time thing that happens to him, but like I think it's like almost a healing factor, but when he's completely healed, he becomes young. But then at one point he gets like shot in like the cheek, and then he's just like super old again. But I don't think it was because he got shot in the cheek. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to know what it is at this point. I think he'll probably elaborate more on it later. It was still like really good. And Declan Shelby's really good at like action beats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to keep following it for that reason. But that was the only thing that like, I was like, what the heck is happening here? You know? So maybe it's on purpose and he's, you know, guiding the reader in a way that he wants to right now. Right. But I was just like, what is this? How am I supposed to know?
Are you going
to
keep grabbing it?
Yeah, I think so. Just because visually it's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good at drawing old people. Like, very consistent hard wrinkles. And like when there's close-ups on
him. No new wrinkles.
When there's close-ups on him, like the bags under his eyes are like super, you know, wrinkly and stuff. And it just like looks good. But I like seeing him on like a spy story. Because when Civil War II was happening, he was doing a tie-in with Nick Fury.
Oh.
And that one visually was like really cool.
Nice.
And so I think that he probably got like a lot of the ideas for this book from that, because just like his style is really good. So I like that book a lot. I also finished something that I'm going to recommend to you.
Okay.
Or at least that you start or begin, but
can't wait to not read it.
Yeah. I finished Everyday Hero Machine Boy.
Oh, sick. Hand it over.
It is so good.
Yeah. You finished it like the end was good.
even the end, I was like, oh, fuck, this is really cool. And like, literally, I think it's probably one of my favorite things that's come out this year.
Mm. You think it'd be a best trade that we didn't review?
Probably.
Candidate?
Yeah, probably. But it's like, it feels like reading a manga or like reading an anime almost, but it's like American, so that's good. But
yeah, these colors and this art is incredible.
But the flow is really like his good.
His eyes are so creepy.
His eyes are so good. Like a lot of like what happens in the story, like I was consistently engaged. Don't look too much. There's spoilers.
I saw a comment.
That's fine.
Okay.
But like throughout the whole thing, I was like totally engaged. I was interested in what was going on and like the characters. There's really good flow, really good like comedic moments.
Mm-hmm.
And like they do a really good job of making me care about the robot guy, but like also his grandma and like everybody.
I love grandmas in comics.
I know, it's so good. And she in particular is really good. But yeah, it's great.
Sick.
So, and it's like a good like all ages book. Like I would genuinely like recommend that to somebody that's never read a comic before.
Wow. So, okay.
Because I'd be like, this is how you get them.
Do you think it'd be too like YA to recommend to someone to try and get them into comics?
Well, maybe. If they're looking for something that's like, I don't know, brutal.
I think some brutal things can kind of rope some people in.
It can. And I think that if I was going to recommend somebody and I think that's the way to like get them, like for you, it was Death of the Family probably, right?
Yeah.
That's what I gave you. And you're like, I was like, this is dark.
I'm like, why'd you give me a comic?
Yeah. And then you read it.
I didn't watch
after
this.
Like 6 months.
Yeah.
It took you a while.
I had to wait until I was like back from college and I was like bored.
Yeah. But I think if I was trying to convince someone like Sophia or like someone that doesn't really care about like dark stuff, definitely that.
Okay.
That would be like of my list. But
for sure.
The storytelling is really good. So I want you to at least read through chapter 3
before you decide you don't like it. Yeah. I
know you'll love it, but
it's a pink book.
If for some reason you're not enjoying it, at least read through chapter 3.
All right.
So
did you watch anything?
I just watched some more Dahmer. I don't think I watched anything else.
Oh, okay.
Including Andor, unfortunately.
I didn't watch Andor either.
Oh, okay, good.
We watched a movie called Creep. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
I think...
It's based off a comic, I think.
No.
There's definitely a Creep comic. What's it about?
So, I think you maybe have heard of it because Mr. Sunday Movies from like the Weekly Planet podcast has talked about it.
Uh-huh.
But it's like one of those found footage movies, and it's about this dude who hires like a videographer to like film him, and he just ends up being like a stalker and like really creepy and weird.
The guy that he hired or the dude that hired the guy?
The dude who hired the guy.
Oh, okay. He's a
really
creeper.
Weird.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty freaky because I think that what like truly scares me to my core is like breaking stuff, because I'm like, that could happen,
yeah,
today
easily,
you know what I mean? And that's just really freaky. And then just people being in your house or near your house, super freaky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of like hit like a note for me that I didn't like.
Oh, but, I hate those.
Which I'm like, it's been a while since I've been like truly scared, like in my home watching a movie.
Yeah,
like the third act, like I felt like my spine was like frozen because I was just
really
like,
holy shit.
I'm definitely like hyping it up, and I'm sure more tough people will be like,
yeah, probably.
Why are you freaking out?
But like that experience is so few and far between, I feel like, unless, especially if you like scary movies.
Yeah.
But I definitely remember like watching a couple movies and being like, it's a little too dark in this room. Maybe it's turning on a light.
Yeah. So it was good for like what they had, because there's only like two people in the movie. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And just like a few locations, it like, could have been made for like for free, you know?
Hmm.
And so I like appreciated that, like how they're able to do so much with so little. And it was like kind of shorter. So
nice.
That was nice. So there's also a sequel, which is cool. And I think this might be a reboot of something. I'm not sure, but really cool. And recommend if you like the found footage stuff.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
So the guy is creeping on the guy that he hired, or he's creeping on, okay.
He like hires them on purpose.
Oh, okay. You know? That makes sense.
And I also started this show called The Watcher.
I've heard about this.
On Netflix. It's like the number one show on Netflix right now, and it has been for like 2 weeks.
What's it about? Give me the Daniel summary.
So, okay, so.
You're so good at these.
You know, Marvel's The Watcher?
Yes.
It's about him.
No way.
No.
What if season two?
So it's this family, and they move into a big house. Big house, not in the city, you know? Trying to get away from the city life.
Good for them.
You know what I mean? And for some reason, there's this huge house in this neighborhood, and no one else's house is big.
Hell yeah.
And it's just in the middle, and it's the biggest one.
That's sick. I would do that too.
Yeah. And, but there's someone watching them, Nathan, and they get these letters that are really freaky. They're like typed out. On like a on a typewriter.
Scary font.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we've been watching you. Hello, Mrs. and Mrs. whatever your name is.
It's like italicized Comic Sans.
Yeah, basically. And I was like, oh, are they just going to get this one letter and freak out about it? But no, they keep getting multiple letters and whatnot. And like,
how many letters is too many letters? Probably like 3.
Maybe like 15.
Oh, wow.
No, they've gotten like 6 so far.
Okay.
But the dude is like consistently learning more about them, you know, like finding out like, what rooms these people sleep in, and like learning names about people.
Oh damn.
And so they're like freaking out, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Should they move? And
sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you don't know who the watcher is, and you're just trying to guess the whole time, but everyone is very fucking suspicious for no reason. Like, they're trying to make it to where you cannot figure it out.
So it's part whodunit?
Part whodunit.
Okay.
Mostly whodunit, but it's like got the very horror aspect to it. Like it's like a horror show.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Like I told Dad about it, and Dad was saying like he thought it was like scary, you know?
Sweet.
Because it is a freaky show.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
I can't remember if there's jump scares, so I couldn't necessarily recommend it to Sophia, but it's good. There is like some like incredible like monologues in this where it's just people, you know, talking about the experiences in the house and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just the part that I hate is like, I'm not someone who like guesses the ending or guesses who the watcher is. I'll like let it play out. But everyone is way too fucking like suspicious, you know, okay. To where like every episode you think it's a different person, but everyone's really fucking weird.
But it sounds like that's the point of the show. You still wouldn't try and guess. Like, try and guess and like Knives Out?
Yeah.
Cause I did. Yeah.
But like, they're definitely, it's written in a way, because this is based on like true events, which is nuts. Like, that's the first thing you see. I'm like, what the fuck?
Turn it off.
Like, no, I can't. No. But the fact that it's written that way like annoys me.
Okay.
You know, but
that's fair.
I like it. I think it's good. It's written well. There's the acting.
Any famous people?
Okay. Huh?
Any like recognizable faces?
There's a guy, like a dad in it that you would know. And the mom is like the girl from like King Kong, if you remember that.
Which one?
The blonde girl that King Kong takes.
Jack Black King Kong?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The Jack Black King Kong?
Oh, yeah, the only one. The best one.
And then the dad, I know him from like Mr. Robot. But I know you didn't watch that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. How far are you in? How many
episodes? 4 episodes. It's only 7.
1 hour?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good.
What I would hate is if, like, the only conclusion that I would hate is if everyone is the watcher. You know what I mean?
That would be shitty, yeah.
Like, it wasn't a single person. It sounds like a single person, but it's just fucking like everybody. Just
make it impossible to possibly like even guess that.
Everyone's in on it. Everyone's just like, it's just this community, just like
a weird cult,
obsessed
community
with this house. Yeah, or whatever.
Midsummer but in America.
Yeah, but anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah,
good show. Give it a shot. Or I'll
it sounds good.
I'll finish it and let you know.
I'll probably watch the first episode. It sounds pretty fun
for sure. And we watched Black Adam, Nathan, didn't we?
We did. The hierarchy of the DC universe changed, Daniel.
It sure did.
Everything's changed now.
What do you think? What did you think? I think we really talked about it.
I think of DC movies that came out this year that star The Rock, this one's not my favorite.
What other one?
Super Pets, Daniel. Dwayne The Rock Johnson was
you
crypto.
You liked Super Pets more than Black Adam?
I had way more fun in Super Pets than I did in Black Adam.
Okay.
And I keep hyping up this movie, like Super Pets. It's not like that good.
It's on HBO Max now.
It's totally worth the watch. Okay. That's what I'll say. But I don't want to hype it up too much. But Black Adam, still pretty good, I guess. It was okay.
The beginning, they did the over-explain thing.
They explained a movie in about 10 minutes.
They sure did.
That's what they did. And so it was just like, this is the Nation of Kondok. And then it's like 10 minutes of like what the Nation of Kondok is and why it's special. And there's like vibranium, but it's the DC vibranium.
Yeah.
Which is, what is it called? Like
adamantium.
Yeah, adamantium. It's like
Eternium.
Eternium, yeah, that's what it is.
Dumb name.
I can't believe that they didn't just make it like nth metal or something.
Yeah.
Because they bring up nth metal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool because it's like a Hawkman thing, right?
Yeah.
They don't even explain that like at all.
You know? I kind of like that because I know what it is and I don't need it to be explained. If someone needs to look it up, they can. It's not that important.
But I know people listening are be like, what the fuck is it made out of? But it doesn't matter. You're right. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, that way too long. That beginning thing.
You
could have caught that down a little bit.
I definitely like guessed like full spoilers for this movie.
Yeah. But,
like,
starting it now.
As soon I just kind of assumed I'm like, oh, watch The Rock just play his dad, you know, because his dad is in it.
But not because
that was The Rock that we see now. I just thought like, oh, it'd be easier just to put his dad in that, him to play his dad.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because like, that whole thing, I'm like, is this The Rock or is it like the guy that finds the thing? Is he The Rock now or like what happens there? I didn't think that they would go with like a Shazam like actual origin. I thought they would have changed it because.
No, I like that they stick with it.
I like it too.
The same wizard and everything.
I prefer that. Yeah. Because it also creates context for Shazam.
Yeah.
Because he kills a bunch of the wizards and Shazam's the only one that.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So I was like, that's pretty cool.
It was cool that they like gave him the power of Shazam and then like immediately took it away because he was not worthy. You know what I mean?
They're like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this was a mistake. Not just like they let him go fucking crazy.
Yeah. So.
And so that was pretty cool.
So initially it was this kid.
His son.
His son was Shazam or Black Adam.
Yeah.
Or Shazam. Technically.
Blazam.
And then the kid's like, I want you to have it, dad. And then after that happened, he's like, I'm gonna go kill these wizards. I can't even remember what happened.
Neither can I.
So the movie itself, very poor editing, very poor dialogue.
Oh my corny. God.
The dialogue took me out and like it knocks this movie down 4 points easily. Just dialogue alone.
But
three.
Wait, on a scale of 10?
On a scale of 10, yeah. Three for sure for me.
Like, the Hawkman shit, whenever he talked, I'm like, just talk.
You know what?
Just say it like a person.
I will say that I thought he was fine because it's very clear what his directive is.
The worst part, honestly.
Really?
Like, just his dialogue.
Hawkman
was cool, but when he talked, I hated it.
The kid annoyed the fuck out of me.
The kid? Oh, yeah, he was... I didn't like
it. I'm like, why are you skating on your skateboard if you're going down the stairs?
There's so many rocks on the ground. You should have tripped.
Yeah. You should have hit a small rock that locks up one of your wheels, but somehow locks up the rest of your wheels too, and you just fly straight off.
I don't know how physics works, but...
Yeah, but he's like skating, going downstairs, and he decides to get on a skateboard to skate like 4 feet, and then he gets off to go down some more stairs. I'm like, why are you skating?
There's a sick row right here.
I get it. You're skating. You're a kid that skates. That's your thing. But he was skating way too much, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's scenes that you can skate, and that's cool, and that's fine. But then they force his whole skating as his thing.
I like that the movie wasn't just all, like, super punches and stuff. There was, like, a human aspect of it.
That part is good. Like, Kondok feels like a real place that has, like, a real community, you know?
Yeah.
And they have, like, their, like, priorities into, like, the Chosen One or whatever they're calling him. The Challenger. I forget.
The Champion?
The Champion, yeah. So that, I think, was really good. I think they did a good job characterizing Kondok.
Yeah.
But still, the dialogue was just too bad to take me out of it. And I think Hawkman was fine because it was very clear that this is just a very, like, one-dimensional guy. He's just trying to get the job done, you know? And so I understood that about his character. But the people that pissed me off was the kid, the bad guy, who ended up being the bad guy, and then the...
I think this movie could have been... just fine without the bad guy. You know what I mean?
I think so too.
Just make it the Justice Society. They just trying to stop him.
They did a doomsday.
They did a Doomsday.
Yeah, but it was a shittier Doomsday.
And then, like, it was just this demon guy who's like, poorly CGI'd.
I'm like, is this Trigon? At least make it Trigon, right?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, I didn't really like him, and he didn't seem that scary, you know?
No, he didn't.
It was cool when he died, though. Like, he just got ripped in half.
But it's funny hard. Because it feels like there's two third acts.
Yeah, the third act just kind of fell apart for me.
Yeah, because...
like when he actually was in that prison or whatever, I'm like, all right, oh, let's wrap this up. Let's go.
Even did like, who else is in like this Suicide Squad thing or whatever?
Yeah, and look, I'm
these
like, bigger boxes.
I'm like, okay, these are the things that they make us come back for or whatever. Those are the things that, you know, whatever. And then it's just like, oh, I'm just going to leave kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the actual villains, like this devil guy, I was not a big fan of it. I was definitely not a big fan of how they found out that there was a villain. Because they read the crown and they're like, oh, it's like upside down or whatever. Whatever they did, it was like mirrored. Yeah. And I'm like, that was so dumb.
It's like, but you never tried that?
What did you think about the Justice League International? Is that what it was?
Justice Society?
Justice Society, sorry.
The JSA, Nathan? I thought that was like the best part.
Definitely.
I think they could have added like, you know, 7 more people, like how the society is.
I think 5 would have been a good number. But
that's too Justice League, Nathan. It needs to be like 16 people for no reason. Like, even throw Wildcat in there to fight some zombies.
Get Gnort in there.
Yeah. But it was cool. And I liked how it kind of felt like there's this new generation that joined. And then there's also people that have been around.
But I don't understand. Are they like a Suicide Squad? Why is Amanda Waller at the head of this? You know,
I think she's got like kind of a hand in everything. Maybe this is... Because I thought Justice League kind of just protected America and Justice Society mostly just protected the world kind of thing.
Yeah.
But...
seems like it would be the other way around.
Right. But anyway, like... I think she just kind of is ahead of all metahuman shit. You know
what I mean? Or maybe the Suicide Squad is supposed to be like the secret one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But...
does that make sense? But I thought...
she is probably raking in so much just being on these Zoom calls.
Dude, she doesn't even need to go and like... just like... you know, blur your background.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta do. And then we'll do the rest.
And then the dad or whatever, or the uncle, like Adam Smasher's uncle, that actor who's in...
oh, yeah.
Who's in Click or whatever.
that's the property that you would recognize.
He's in Barry too, but...
he's in Parks and Rec.
Is he? Anyway, it was just so odd that he was just put in there.
I was like, what coming is back? This? Yeah.
Do we get an origin of him?
You don't get him to put him on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm like, they might have something planned for that, dude.
I think they do. Adam Smasher, I think, had very cringy dialogue because they made him Deadpool.
His like eyes looked exactly like Deadpool. Like his mask was Deadpool.
Very Deadpool. He was very quippy, like Deadpool. I think like visually, he was really cool.
Yeah,
I hated his character though.
Yeah,
like I thought
he was going to be like older. You know,
I thought so too. Which I don't mind that he wasn't, but it was weird that he was trying to.
I'm glad that there was comic relief in this movie, but. I don't necessarily like that it was him, I guess, but maybe we just don't like being happy.
I don't think that The Rock was good comic relief. I just thought everything that he said when he was trying to like make a joke, except for one joke that actually made me laugh. There was 3 separate times I laughed in this movie, which I was surprised by.
Yeah.
Like genuinely. But
was it like the GoPro like angle?
No, because there's like times that I laughed, but it wasn't supposed to be a laughing moment.
Okay.
There were times that they meant it that I actually laughed. So yeah, the one where he's like trying to like catch the kid in the Eternium motorcycle thing that's in the air.
Yeah.
That was funny because it zoomed in on his face. And I'm just like, why would you do that? But the 3 times I laughed, I remember was he's like trying to use that like one liner or whatever. And he's not very good at it. And he drops a guy and he's like, and then tell him that the black man. And then he like dies. And yeah. I thought that was funny because I didn't expect that. And the pace or the editing of it was pretty funny. And then Dr. Fate, who's awesome in this movie. I think he definitely carried it
like,
most of the time for me just because I love Dr. Fate.
And he just looked fucking sick.
He's so cool, dude.
They could not have made him cooler.
I was worried about the helmet because I didn't love it at first, but it looks good like on screen.
Yeah,
you
just see through it.
Yeah. Dr. Fate was like helping that dude that was like shot or whatever. And he's like, this isn't how you die. It's stay away from electricity. And he's like electrician or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to fight the zombies later, he's like, I don't die this way.
It's okay. I die from electricity.
Yeah. And then he goes to fight. I was like, that's pretty good too.
That was a good one.
And then when Adam Smasher's like flirting with McTwist. Cyclone. Yeah. And then Hawkman's like, stop. I thought that was funny too. Just because I cringed so hard at that moment. I'm like, oh God, they're going to force this relationship. And then Hawkman basically just said what I wanted to say. And right. I thought that was funny. So there's some good stuff.
You think Black Adam's a little OP?
No.
Because it seemed like he was very strong.
He seemed very strong, but it also looked like the Justice League could stop him from what he's trying to do. You know,
probably.
So I think that they had a pretty good balance there.
All together, probably. But
they weren't very coordinated. He kept going
head to head with Hawkman. I'm like, dude, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
You just have a stick thingy.
Hawkman, I don't think could do it by himself. Definitely not. But the fact that the other people were there and Dr. Fate was an element of things that probably Black Adam couldn't understand. Yeah. I think together, if they were more coordinated, I think they could stop him. So I think I like that balance there.
Yeah.
But the action was pretty good in this.
So this movie was not terrible. I thought it was good, not pretty good. It was good.
I thought it was okay.
I thought the action was a lot of fun and it
probably the best.
It is an action movie. And so they did that good. So therefore good movie.
Yeah. I like that he can zip around and they do that part really well.
Yeah.
And all the stuff in the air and with Dr. Fate and then when Atom Smasher goes really big, all that was pretty good.
You know how all the Marvel movies kind of feel the same?
Yeah.
If all the DC movies were like this, I wouldn't mind it, you know? Definitely they are a more diverse set of movies because they all look like they're made from different people.
Yeah, you know? It would feel less messy for sure. The whole DC universe if they're all made like this, so.
Right. There was things that are completely unreasonable in this, like a kid reading Cyborg comics.
Yeah, I forget. So
I'm like, that can't be right.
They really shoehorn comics in here. He does not talk about comics at all.
Yeah, he's got them in his backpack, though.
He's got them in his backpack. New 52 Cyborg? Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Come on. That is not the one that you're reading. But
those are very old by
now. What I did enjoy is that his room, even though it was there's a lot of noise in that room, visually,
mm-hmm.
It had some things that I recognized in there, which I think was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Most of it was Jim Lee, which makes sense because he's an executive or whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw the Ivan Reis Superman that he did with Brian Michael Bendis that I could recognize.
Oh, for sure.
There's a thing that he lasers.
Mm.
And it was that Superman, he's standing like this. And I'm like, that's Ivan Reis. That's pretty cool. I hope he got money for that.
Right. Probably not.
Probably not. But there was some pretty cool stuff in that room. But yeah, just random comics. But it was funny when we saw the Cyborg comic and we're like, come on. Yeah.
I also noticed, I told you this in the theater, but Cyclone's logo looks exactly like the old Jamba Juice logo.
She probably got sponsored.
Yeah, she works at Jamba Juice. She blends it up with her powers.
Yeah, with her power.
No blender needed. It's really messy, but
she was very interesting visually.
Visually, really cool. Like a wind powered thing seems dumb.
I think they did a little too much slow mo with her.
I like how she kept doing all these twists. You know.
Yeah, very cool twists. I like that she could throw a metal rod or whatever pretty accurately with wind. It seems it'd be hard to do.
I wasn't excited about her just because I didn't know who she was, but that's also a theme of the Justice Society is you're just not gonna know everyone.
Yeah, and that's fine, you know.
So that makes sense for me. And then I like how there was no forced kisses in this movie.
That was good. I definitely thought the lady
kissing the Rock or something, or Cyclone and Atom Smasher kissing.
Yeah, I definitely thought something like that was gonna happen.
And then a little after the scenes thing, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
Where
did you get that spoiled for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the Rock.
Oh, okay. Good.
Because he's
at least it was from him.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the strongest thing on Earth, but
wink,
not in the universe. Wink.
And you'll know what I'm talking about in the thing
at the end. And then
I definitely wouldn't be the strongest one on Krypton if that helps narrow it down for you.
Yeah. So Amanda Waller is like, you can fuck around or whatever, but don't leave Conduct or else I'll send everybody or
which
whatever.
I like
and
then
like,
she sends somebody
and he's like fucking go for it and he's there already.
Yeah, so it's like, well, obviously this is an act of war already.
And we see Henry Cavill as Superman
and he's like, you're pretty scary when you're pretty strong.
He's like, let's have a little chat. It's shocking to me that Henry Cavill is continuously looking more and more like Superman.
Yeah, as time goes on.
Yeah, I was like,
it looks like curl or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the spit curl. His like jaw just looked more Superman-y for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe he worked it out.
Maybe, yeah. Did those? He just chewed on a lot of
Tootsie Rolls,
like gum or something. Yeah, or like the fruit roll-ups with a. He just rolled them up into a ball and chewed on those.
Or he did the thing where he has a fruit roll-up and then he sticks the end on his tongue and then he has to go like, really fast like, to like. Yeah, or milk duds. Because those are super chewy as well.
I fucking hate milk duds, so I wouldn't know.
I think they're okay, but they're really hard to chew. But yeah, I mean, that's cool. I hope they interact or whatever. That'd be fun.
I hope they don't just blatantly call that movie Superman versus Black Adam.
I hope they do. I think that'd be pretty funny.
I think they should definitely have Shazam in a Black Adam movie or the other way around.
For sure.
Like, they could call it just like Fury of the Gods or whatever. Or some shit like that.
I think that's what this next movie is literally called for Shazam.
Really? Cool. Oh, is it? Never mind.
I think that's how you came up with that name.
Just call it a couple Zappy Boys.
Zappy Boy versus others Zappy Boy.
Yeah. Versus Dark Suit Black Zappy Boy.
It's literally called Shazam 2 Fury of the Gods.
Oh, man. What was that? Wait, what's that book called that is coming out right now?
Coming out right now?
Yeah.
The Black Adam one?
No. The Doc Shaner one.
Oh,
the Shazam one?
The Champion of Shazam.
Oh, yeah. The Champions of Shazam, you know? Since yeah. There's two of them.
That's true.
But, like, it seems like dumb definitely to interact. Go from, like... Because Black Adam, Shazam villain, you know what I mean? And obviously, he becomes bigger, more of a DC villain kind of thing. Or anti-hero, whatever. But it just seems to go from, like, big punchy guy to big punchy guy.
They did say a lot...
Because then it's just star power at that point.
I think they spent too much time, or not too much time, but they said they really danced around saying anti-hero.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing that like people say normally, but they were like basically spelling it out. And I think the audiences get it at that point, because when they were trying to identify what Black Adam is, like they just spent like a minute talking about how he's not a hero, but he's not a villain.
I mean, no one says anti-hero in like the comics, even though there's multiple.
That's what I'm saying. But like, we get it. We know he's not a hero. We know he's not a villain. So you don't have to like really drive that home that he's like an anti-hero.
I guess some people like might see him as a villain.
Yeah.
Like the Justice Society.
I did like his suit at the very end, though.
Wait, had the cape?
When he had...
I don't know why the fucking cape took so long. Yeah, he didn't have a cape like the entire movie until he... comes out or whatever.
Yeah,
I would have liked him just to have that hood the entire time.
The hood was cool. I did like the hood, but I liked that at the end the yellow popped more.
Did it?
Because throughout the movie it was just like this slight tint of like yellow and like the logo and like his cuffs or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But then at the end it was like a more distinct yellow, and like I really liked that costume, so I was cool with that.
Okay,
but I like what they've set up for the future. Like he's just gonna protect Khondok. And, like, the lady that, like, set him free or whatever is probably going to be the president or whatever they have over there. So, I think that, like, where it ended sets up for pretty good stuff in the future.
Yeah. I hope it's not, like, where basically The Rock is, like, the center point.
I hope.
Where, like, he will basically be Superman, you know?
I think he will be.
Which because, I won't like. I'll be mad about it. I'll be mad about it too.
And then the only reason he'll be... brought into things is because they'll be like, Superman will be like, this thing's a big threat, and if it wins, it'll kill Khondok probably. And then Black Adam will be like, okay, I'll help. Like, I feel like that'll be the situation.
It destroys the world, including Khondok. He's like, fine, I'll go.
He's like, he's not gonna make an exception for Khondok because, like, I'm not a part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just a big statue of... Well, what did you think about, like, the slow... I guess, reveals about the past as it went on.
So I didn't expect there to be anything like that. So the fact that there was one, it seemed kind of rushed and kind of forced, but I was like, oh, cool. Like a little twist.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if that's...
There's a couple little twists, though, which kind of confused me.
Yeah.
Not confused, but I mean, I get it, but I was just like, is this necessary?
Yeah. And then like the fucking bad guy ended up being like an ancestor of like the shitty king from a long time ago. That
looked really weird. He looked like he would have been in Meet the Spartans.
Yeah,
he looked just like looked funky like
Xerxes
that.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
and I don't... that character, that actor, like only plays villains for some reason. Like he was like the bad guy in like the Disney movie
Aladdin.
Live action Aladdin. Yeah, he's the bad guy in Aladdin.
Oh yeah, he is the bad guy a lot. Huh?
He's also in The Old Guard, so I guess he was a good guy at one point.
Oh okay.
But
he's like,
as soon as I saw him, he's the bad guy.
He's like Giancarlo Esposito.
Basically.
He's just the same bad guy and everything.
Yeah.
But one more thing. They did a Steve Rogers like CGI thing where they put buff man's head on non-buff, not as buff body. That guy was still pretty ripped.
Yeah, still pretty good looking dad bod.
But it was really funny seeing The Rock's fucking beefy head on like a body that didn't fit him.
Why, they can just shrink that down like a little bit.
Why did it look good in Captain America though? I think it was something with like the cheeks or something, or like the chin. Maybe they didn't make it as distinct. And like, I think
it didn't look like skinny, because I feel like in Captain America, they just pasted the face, not like the whole head. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. Yeah. But like, where does The Rock's face end?
Dude,
he's bald. You can't just choose a spot to where it ends.
Chris Evans was so fucking big coming out of that thing. I'm like, oh my God, he's like a balloon.
He was very,
because he also has like this pose where he's just like, everyone will look Jack in that.
He's so bulbous.
I'm like, look at his titties.
Yeah, they're huge.
Bigger than Peggy Carter's.
So it just like looked funny looking at The Rock be not as buff.
I was trying to like really think about how it was. I really tried not to think about how it was CGI. I'm like, yeah.
It's hard not to, though. It looked like a Snapchat filter.
I don't know why there hasn't been like a meme where it's like, me at the gym is just The Rock, and then me when I get home.
Yeah. Like, that's funny.
Because that's how it feels when the pump goes away.
Yeah, definitely.
But
anyway. Pretty good, I guess. I still think that it wasn't like great.
As long as you're not comparing it to everything you've ever seen, pretty good movie.
As long as you don't compare to other movies.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Just think about how good of a time you had. I would change so much.
There's a lot of problems.
But I felt like I learned a little bit and pretty good.
But pretty good run, I guess.
Pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I like the slow-mo. I know you're not a big fan of slow-mo.
I'm fine with slow-mo. There's definitely too much slow-mo in this.
I kind of wish that Hawkman just had his wings the whole time. Like they didn't like retract or whatever.
Yeah, where'd
they go? Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of like with him, the image of him just walking around and they're just behind him, you know?
Yeah. I'm surprised they made him look cool, because that's...
Oh, he looks so sick.
That was probably a big challenge.
Yeah. I didn't like the helmet. It seemed like...
Oh,
it was
the helmet.
It looked like it was too narrow, and his like his little feathers on the wings or whatever were too long in my mind.
The wings on the helmet?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't think so. I thought they did a good job.
But anyway, yeah, he still looked pretty cool.
So yeah. That's our review.
All right. Yeah. I think we talked about everything about that movie.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch it anymore.
So that's it.
Yeah. That's the... What are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
I don't know. What are we? You have a plan then? All right.
Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, our November is already like planned out.
Okay. Cool.
Next week, we're reading Black Panther.
Oh, okay, cool.
Volume 1 by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yep.
You have to say like his whole name altogether.
Yeah. You can't just say Ta Coates.
Ta-Nehisi. So we'll read that, because that movie comes out the week the episode comes out.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Black Panther. Sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for watching. Thanks for listening. You've been great. We love you.
Do a subscribe. Do a follow.
Do a like.
Do a like as well. Yes.
Do a watch.
And...
Oh, shit. I'm shaking the fucking camera.
Reach out if you want to give us recommendations.
Yeah. TrueRiverspod@gmail.com. Tell us what to read.
Tell us what you thought of Black Adam.
Yeah.
All right. Peace. Bye.